when you hear those kind of numbers and you hear me say those words, what's going through your mind, Mark?
Well, you know what? It's funny because you forget about them. And, you know, some days when I'm questioning how when horses run bad, I have to go back and remember, yeah, we've done okay in the past. So it's great. It was what a beautiful ceremony they had for the Hall of Fame, and I'm very, very proud to be in it.
Tell me about that ceremony and coming up there to officially hear your name called as a Hall of Famer. What was that like?
Well, what made it even nicer was that Jim Bannon, who is a close, close friend, he did the ceremony, and then they asked me if there was anybody in particular that I would like to present it to me, and my dear friend and one of the greatest race callers, in my opinion, around, Dan Lozell, presented it to me. So it was truly a real honor.
Been a very difficult year for you, losing your dad earlier in the year, and that had to be foremost on your mind as well as you're walking up to that podium.
It was very difficult. I knew it would be. It took me 4 or 5 days to write my speech. Most people maybe would listen to it and not think so, but I made sure I wanted to talk about my dad, and I put it last, and I let my wife read it because she said, I'm not sure I can read it, and I cried the entire way, and I think Jim Bannon held my hand. So it was, you know, it's been an unbelievable year, and I almost think sometimes I wonder if he's up there helping.
What do you think he would say if he could have been there at that ceremony?
I think he would have been crying right, you know, alongside me. He's always been my biggest supporter, and you know, I couldn't have done it without him, and I think he would have been very proud.
You're a huge family man, and now you have the privilege of having your son Norman by your side and your entire family around your operation. That has to be special and mean the world to you as well.
I think it's really special, and I think it's probably we do get a fair amount of media attention. I think a lot of it has to do with the relationship of Norman and I, and it is nice. You enjoy winning, but it's always better to win when you have your family around. You know, my wife Tina is a huge part of it. Colby, my 13-year-old, we don't hardly. As I've gotten older, I've decided that look, I'm not going to be away from my family. I'm going to take them with me, and luckily, with some success, you can afford some of that. You know, I think back, you know, poor Norman. Norman didn't get to see me much, but he probably now thinks he sees me too much.
This is a game that has the highest highs and the lowest lows. We all know that. Anybody that's in the game knows that very well. You've experienced both ends of those. Let's focus on the highs, though, and the positives. When you think about your Hall of Fame career to this point, and it's still ongoing, what are some of the moments that are always going to stand out to you?
Oh, that's a toughie. Probably one of them would be Lexi Lou, you know, winning the Queen's Plate. It was amazing. She was on the front of every major newspaper the next day in Toronto, and the crowd went wild. So, and then it I don't know that it helped me. Actually, by when she won it, I was already I hadn't been inducted, but I was going to be. I mean, there was nothing like Tepin winning at Royal Ascot. And then, you know what, the two Breeders' Cup races, I kind of felt like there was a lot of relief. We'd accomplished a lot of things, but that was something we hadn't done. You know, there's a lot of great trainers that have never won the Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of great trainers that haven't won the Breeders' Cup, but you know, I just wanted to be considered with some of the best, and I think the Breeders' Cup helped that.
Yeah, certainly. Up until last year, I think you were considered one of the better trainers in the sport that had never won a Breeders' Cup, and now maybe focusing on a race like the Kentucky Derby or Triple Crown race.
I can remember maybe the year prior, they had a big article, and they had 4 or 5 trainers. One of them was Christoph Clement. I think Wesley Ward had not won a race, and they had a big picture of Christoph, and I said, I see we haven't won the Breeders' Cup. And he goes, yeah, why would they put that, you know? And I said, hey, at least they're even thinking about us. And so I took it as a bit of a compliment, you know, that I'm sure there's a lot of trainers that have won the Breeders' Cup, but they wanted to make mention that we had. And so I took it as a compliment, but it just made me want to win that much more.
So what goals are still left for Mark Cassie to accomplish?
The Kentucky Derby, the Hall of Fame. You know, I went to the Hall of Fame here in Saratoga when I was 8 years old with my dad. And to think that, you know, possibly that I could end up in there one day would be great. And then maybe a Eclipse Award. That'll be a difficult task. But it may be not impossible now. I would have said 10 years ago or 5 years ago it would have been impossible, but maybe not now. And I have to tell you, a large part of that has to do with Norman and the teamwork that our entire team has given us. So that's about it. If I, you know, I would say that I've done all I needed to do. May even start thinking about taking a little vacation time.
That would be kind of nice for a change, wouldn't it?
It would be. I've worked so hard to get where I'm at and so grateful what I'm at, but it is, and people don't realize it's, you know, it's every day, all night. Funny little quick story. I love holidays because nobody's going to train. So I thought, you know, New Year's Day is a great day for me because nobody's training, everybody's safe. So this 2016 team, 7 a.m. in the morning, New Year's Day, I get a call, and of course, Coltley had paid $1.3 million for it, stuck his leg and caught over a stall gate, and they had to rush him to the... So I said, well, welcome to 2016. So there's just never a day that something isn't going on.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're never away from the operation. Even if you try to get away and go fishing for a day or do something, your mind's still on it, isn't it?
I won't even go far enough. We have a boat, and I won't go out far enough that my phone doesn't work. Because, and maybe that's stupid, but I like knowing what's going on. And I feel like I have a lot of people that have put a lot of money and trust in me, and I don't want to let them down. And so I will even plan my plane flights. And I try to go in times when we're not running or not training, just so I'm always available.
I'm sick. Trainer Mark Cassie joining me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, let's focus on maybe a more immediate goal, and that's winning the Whitney on Saturday with Noble Bird. Talk to me about Noble Bird and how he's coming up to the race.
You know, Noble Bird is trained extremely well. He gets over this track good. And the Whitney would be very special because, one, the Oxleys have been so dear to us and been supporters of us, and they're very good friends with Mary Lou. And so I think that would be very nice. Plus, of course, you know, Noble Bird is by Birdstone, and so it would be for Mary Lou, I think it would be a great great thing for her as well. So and I realize we're a long shot, but if the real Noble Bird shows up and maybe Frosted has a bad day, we might have a shot.
Well, Frosted did not have a bad day the last time you faced him in the Met Mile. He was ultra-impressive that day, won by 14 lengths. How do you make up that kind of margin here at Saratoga in the Whitney?
You don't make it up. You hope your horse runs a good race and runs his best race and hope maybe Frosted doesn't freak again. His last win was freaky, and, you know, he'll have to – if he duplicates, we're all running for second.
All right, well, good luck in the Whitney. Next week, we head to Arlington for the Arlington Million. You'll have world approval in the Arlington Million. He worked here this morning at Saratoga. Tell me about him.
He worked extremely well. He went 49-2. He's a horse I'm really proud of. We kind of had some plans. We got him later on. We got him as a three-year-old, beginning of his three-year-old year, and he's really progressed. And he's turned into one of the best turf horses in North America, and I think he continues to get better. And I'm really proud of world approval. And of course, Mrs. Weber, she's a Florida, you know, she's Florida through and through, and I grew up 10 miles from her house, so it means a lot to me to train for her.
One thing I love about World Approval, he's kind of a bit of a throwback horse. He's only had 15 starts, but they come at 9 different racetracks. He's run well at all of them.
When I started training for Mrs. Weber, I told her, you might want to get the compact, I said, because we will go everywhere. And I think that's one of the things that makes us do well. You know, we'll Yesterday we won the quick call with Holden Gold, and he was sitting up at Woodbine, and I said, well, I know where this will fit well, and then so I brought him to Saratoga. So, you know, that's what we do. I spend a lot of time. I go over 6-7 condition books every day. And
how good was his last race in the United Nations?
Very good. Very good. Obviously, the leader of the gang right now is Flint Shire, and we'll try him again maybe, but I'm not in any hurry. So it was good to see him run here last week, and we'll see. I think if World Approval runs his race, he's going to be very tough in the Arlington Million. At least I hope so.
Well, good luck this Saturday. Good luck next Saturday. And again, congratulations on that Hall of Fame. Well deserved.
Thanks, Mike.